Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. I thought about some phrases that I think most of you will know. You'll at least know some of these, and I'm going to read them. These are in chronological order. And as I'm reading them, what memories pop to mind or what emotions come up for you? Give me liberty or give me death. Anybody know who that was? That's Patrick Henry, the revolutionary. 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. That is Abraham Lincoln. Good one. This was not in the U.S. We will wage war by sea, land, and air with all our might and with all the strength that God can give us. 20th century leader, anybody know? Churchill. We're moving from Vegas to like a game show, I think, here. Because I see high fives out there in the congregation as we're getting these, right? As this is an easy one, I think, for a lot of us. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. And that was JFK. I have a dream. Only four words, but we get that one, right? And then one that I think was very pivotal, but that we don't recite necessarily. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. That was Ronald Reagan, right? Well, these are memorable lines from memorable speeches because they all capture for us a dynamic, right? Something was unfolding, and this encapsulates for us, sears into our memory what was happening and the importance of what was happening. But they're words. We speak words all the time. But these words were pivotal. Words can have a memory and a power and an effect. This has always been true. The power of the word was acknowledged in both the Old and the New Testaments. The Apostle Paul, as a Pharisee, would have been very well versed in the words of what we call the Old Testament, the Old Testament scriptures. As a Pharisee, he would have known those very well because Pharisees were sort of legal scholars of the law of Moses. And this was talked about, the law of God and the words of the prophets were talked about as the word of God. That is how people knew what God said and what God wanted of them and what righteousness and justice meant. Those were the measuring sticks for Paul. Very real, very powerful, very important. So the great Shema of Deuteronomy chapter 6, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, the Lord alone, that every Jewish child was taught to memorize that, and I believe still is, at least in more religious circles. Very powerful. And of course, we as Christians think of the New Testament also as the Word of God because we understand that the Holy Spirit worked through the New Testament authors like Paul and the early church to constitute this canon that we have called the New Testament. And it's interesting to compare the two. And some scholars have gone back into the writings of the New Testament and they hear the echoes of the Old. This is certainly true of our passage that we've been studying, Ephesians chapter 6. N.T. Wright, the scholar, British scholar, points this out. This would have been a very powerful line for the Apostle Paul and for the Jews who were experiencing waiting for the Messiah and that expectation, experiencing that expectation. So the words of Isaiah were very present to them. How beautiful, this is Isaiah 52, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Now listen to Paul, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. Do you hear the echo there? Isaiah 49, verse 2, he made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he held me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he held me away. He hid me away. So the mouth of the prophet, Isaiah, is a sharp sword who speaks God's word. And it's a cutting kind of word that penetrates. Now here, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hear the echo. Very important, this continuity between the word and the power of the word to dwell in our hearts and our minds and our memories so that we tell stories, we recite scripture, we share with our youngers, and they do the same to prepare to pass on to another generation as well. Well, here, Paul is telling the young Christians to put on the armor of God to deal with what he calls the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers of this present darkness against the spiritual forces. He says, put this on against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Paul's world is one that is alive, and it is teeming with natural and supernatural beings. And Paul's message in this passage has been, don't take that lightly. Scholar N.T. Wright again. He says, Paul here clearly supposes in Ephesians that the forces of evil that put Jesus on the cross have been seriously upset by the victory of the resurrection. They are now positively panic-stricken at the thought that the message of this Jesus is everywhere, challenging their power and authority, and that communities loyal to Jesus as Lord and King are springing up, bringing people together and communities together in a new unity and a new humanity. He says they are panicked of that. He says sometimes this attack will take the frontal form of actual authorities in towns and cities who try to prevent Christians from spreading the message. Sometimes it will take a more oblique form of persuading Christians to invest time and energy in irrelevant side issues or to become fascinated by distorted teaching. Sometimes, he said, it will simply be the age-old temptations of money, sex, and power. But in each case, what individuals in the whole church must do, first, is to recognize that attacks are coming. Second, to learn how to put on the complete armor which God offers. And third, to stand firm and undismayed. So we've been talking about this armor for a couple weeks now. This is the last week we'll wrap up this, that we'll be talking about this passage. We'll wrap it up. Here in verse 17, Paul says, keep the word of God with you, essentially. Hang on. He says, I meant to copy-paste it there. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So what does that mean practically? I was thinking, I get the metaphor. I get the theology because I spent time at theological school. I could talk a lot about the theology around that. But what does it look like practically for the word of God to penetrate our day in, day out lives? What would that look like? Well, let's go back to what the word meant to Paul. It meant truth. It meant the truth about who God is, justice, righteousness, what is good, what is best. So I thought, who has a grasp on that? Well, one community that has a grasp on that often is the Amish community or the Amish communities. This account is adapted from a writer named Jeff Smith from the Washington Post. When an Amish community member is interested in using a new technology, in other words, is this best, is this good, the community asks whether it will be helpful or harmful to the relationships in the community. In one case, a community member wanted to buy a hay baler to make his work more efficient. But the community wondered, how would this affect relationships if workers no longer had to work with each other? Another wanted to run a propane gas tank and or propane gas into his family's bedrooms so each could have on a light at night. But the community wondered whether this would separate the family in the evening, where they'd previously shared the evening together in the living room. They ended up rejecting both ideas. He concludes, you and I might come to different conclusions than the Amish about technology, but we would be wise to ask the same sort of questions. How will this smartphone, how will this social media app affect relationships within my home? Will the subscription to Disney Plus bring our family together or give us more reasons to live separate lives? For we as Christians, we can ask ourselves, what is best, like the Amish? What is good? What is true? What is valuable? What does the Word of God teach us? And how do we use that as a measuring stick to judge our own ideas in the present situation against that measuring stick? So the knowledge of God through the Word of God leads to the movement of the Spirit. That's the Amish coming together to talk and to agree or disagree and work through that. That's the movement of the Spirit. And in the end, our lives result in fruit. They come to a conclusion. Very powerful. Very powerful. And we do that as a community all the time. The elders and the deacons get together, and you and your Bible studies get together, and you say, should we do it this way? Should we do it that way? It's a discernment process where the Spirit moves. And it may not look particularly spiritual. Thankfully here, it doesn't look like argument. Not very often at all, thankfully. And the Spirit moves in ordinary circumstances to teach us and to lead us. So Paul also uses the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and the helmet of salvation. Now, I don't know much about armor. I'm not a combat person. But my guess is that a helmet is pretty important on a battlefield. If a warrior takes a blow to the head, that could be fatal. So what is the helmet that shields us from the fatal blow? It's salvation. That shields us from despair. That shields us from the worry of death. What reminds you of the peace of salvation? That there's nothing in this world that can rob God's faithful of that salvation. What reminds you of that? What encourages you about that? Is there something during the week that you do that reminds you, yes, you know, this is actually a rough week, but that's not where I'm headed forever. I'm not headed to a place of despair. I'm not headed to a place of feeling like I'm alone or feeling like I don't have resources or I don't know what's going to happen in my life. What reminds you of your salvation? Do you ever lean into that? Do you ever say, this is rough, it's going somewhere better? For some people, it's music or a hymn. Writer Jonathan Atkin tells about one hymn that reassures a lot of people. I didn't recognize it at first when he told the story. In 1779, a British pastor published a hymn book titled On Lee Hymns. It became an immediate bestseller. I don't know if there are many hymn books that are bestsellers anymore. Could be wrong about that. 1779, though, bestseller. The public largely ignored hymn number 41 in the collection, titled Faith's Review and Expectations. I have a feeling if I showed up to praise team practice and I said, hey, you guys, I got a hot one. It's called Faith's Review and Expectations. They might not be too enthused. Praise team, amen? They might not be too enthused. The author of this hymn made no further mentions of it in his diaries during the 30 remaining years of his life, and for the next 120 years, it never caught on with churchgoers or with anyone else. First of all, I have to say, that is an absolutely horrible title. So I'm not surprised that that one got buried in the hymn book. Hymn number 41 made only one appearance in all the other hymn books published in Britain in the 18th and 19th century. It was a hymn without honor in its own country. But when hymn number 41, originally written by the pastor and former slave trader John Newton, jumped over to the shores of America, it quickly rose in popularity after someone renamed it. Someone renamed it. A singing instructor from South Carolina set the lyrics to a new tune, and during the 1850s, the hymn added some lyrics and song from Black American worship. And on December 10th, 1947, the famous singer Mahalia Jackson recorded a version of the hymn. Eventually, this obscure hymn, which today is known as Amazing Grace, has become what one person called the spiritual national anthem of America. Its original pastor, John Newton, would have been astonished by the universality of the hymn he wrote 250 years ago for his local church worshipers. What he composed to illustrate a village sermon has developed into a global anthem. And the power of it is it reminds us that grace is amazing. And the things that we go through are nothing compared to that grace that is amazing and that reminds us of our salvation. The helmet of salvation. As you look at your life today, right now, take a snapshot. Take a snapshot of your past week. As you look at the world out there, what are the truths? As you look at that and then you come back and reflect. What are the truths from God's words that sustain you? Do you know them? Do you have them on your mind? There's always chance and opportunities for more Bible study and to learn more. But do you know there are sentences that go through your mind? Could you learn some of those? what reminds you of God's word, and how does that sustain you, and how does it discern, help you discern, this is better, this is good. I'm going to turn off that feed and that social media site and that show or whatever, and I'm going to focus on that which is wonderful in my life and the relationships around me. How does God's word help you do that? And then what reminds you of God's amazing grace that leads to salvation? So I'm going to invite you to pray as I'm making my way to the back row back there. Invite you to pray, to consider a situation in life where you need a message or direction from the Word of God, where you need discernment. Take a moment and close your eyes. Take a couple deep breaths. Lift that situation up to God. Ask for a word from God. Maybe it is the word of God from the scriptures. Maybe it is a word from God spoken through another human being that cares for you and has wisdom for you. Lift that situation up to God. Is there a situation in life now where you need hope, where you need encouragement, you need to be reminded that whatever is going on in life is not forever? If it's a negative thing going on, and that God's amazing grace leads to salvation that is forever. Take a moment, take in that truth, say a few words of thank you to God. In Christ's name, amen.